And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a brand new podcast called Trailer Blazers. We're very happy to be here. My name is Ben Moon.
My name is Nick Kelly.
And we are both androids trying to pass the Turing test with one another.
Yes, we are computer men.
And hopefully these computer men will entertain you. Well, I guess before we talk about the show itself, we should talk about who we are.
We should get that out there in the universe, just so people know what's going on. We are humans. If you ask us to click on all the images containing stoplights, we will be able to do that.
Indeed. Even on a bad day.
It's true. I am Nick. I am from the deep forests of southeastern Wisconsin. I did not have the internet until pretty much 2013. But I like movies, and I like podcasts, and I don't have a ton of other hobbies.
So you're perfect.
Yep, pretty much.
And so I am actually from the heart of Dixie, Birmingham, Alabama, and so we have a nice range, don't we? The top of the Midwest to the bottom of the Deep South.
Yeah, we don't have any coastal representation here.
No, but we will have guests who could represent.
Yes.
At some point. I imagine we will have guests.
Some industry insiders.
Indeed.
Hollywood A-listers.
Indeed. So, while Nick is a techno-Luddite, not really, but I love technology, and I'll tell you, I'm on a never-ending journey to be a Renaissance man, and I have way too many hobbies.
Yes, Ben is some kind of Southern music robot.
Okay, so we met at a convention, a nerd convention called Dragon Con, and some of you may know what that is, and maybe even some of you know us from Dragon Con itself.
Maybe some of you have attended Dragon Con.
You find a lot of like-minded people, and Nick and I are very much on the same wavelength on a lot of things in life.
It's true. You can actually tell because when we speak, our recording Audacity lines line up.
There you go. It's science, people.
Mm-hmm.
So this podcast is going to be about none other than movie trailers. And you say, well, why not about movies? Because nobody has time to watch all the movies.
Okay? No, not anyone. Not these days in the heart of peak TV with all these blockbuster releases and also podcasts.
Right. We're hashtag blessed. And since we can't watch all the TV shows and all the movies and play all the video games, we can indeed see the trailers. It doesn't take much time to see all the trailers. And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about those trailers, and we will see some of the things so we can vet some of the actual movies. But I think we'd like to maybe crowdsource the seeing of some of these things or the playing of some of these things, right?
Right, that's right. As soon as we get a crowd to source it to, we will source it to that crowd.
And then we're going to have lots of fun segments. So there's two things we promise we won't do, and we talked about this. We won't meander too much because that just, it can get boring. And then also we're not going to have these like long stretches where we laugh a lot because people laughing is not content.
It's true. And I'm also just, I'm sort of the straight man here.
But such a good one. Okay. So there's not really many podcasts out there about trailers. You researched this, right?
Yeah, I did a cursory search on my podcatcher of movie trailer podcasts, and I found about 100 billion movie podcasts, but I did not really come across any trailer podcasts.
Yeah. So because there's not, and because you people are probably a lot like us with limited time and can't see all the movies, but you can know what we're talking about because you probably have seen the trailers. So, and then we'll talk about, you know, industry things as well, I imagine.
Oh, we'll get into every nook and cranny here.
Nooks and crannies.
That could be a segment.
Write it down. Put it in the book.
We'll put it
so
on the notes.
It's going to be Nick and I here. It's going to be Nick and me on the podcast here, and we're going to have guests at some point, and we're going to talk about some different things. We're going to talk about what's new each week.
We are.
There's always stuff coming out every single week at these days, right?
That's right. You get trailers for trailers these days.
That is true. You do. You do. So we're actually, and even if there's not new stuff, we can go through old trailers because that's kind of fun.
We're going to talk about old trailers that are good. We're going to talk about old trailers that are bad. This isn't just what we like. It's a very broad spectrum of trailer discussion.
Indeed. And then we will go a little in depth as well with like trailer trends. And I like the example that you gave, Nick, on the in the outline.
Oh, yes. A trailer trend that you may have noticed between the years of 2010 and maybe like just recently is what I like to call the Inception Bwomp, which is every trailer for about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years has had a bwomp every couple minutes in the trailer.
So there, so we'll be looking at that and we'll be picking up on any new trends and that sort of thing. Also, something that you've probably noticed before is you'll see a trailer and you'll be looking for a certain scene that you saw in the trailer and it never appears in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The internet picks up on that stuff pretty quick.
Yeah, because everyone immediately feels that they're being cheated out of movie content.
How dare you?
Mm.
Also, we might even look into like the fake trailers that you see, like the fan-made trailers when they haven't actually put out a trailer, but they just love the property so much.
Yep, and that can be a real hassle when you're trying to find trailers for a podcast, for example.
Yes, it is annoying. Mm-hmm. And then we will also probably talk about video game trailers. I mean, obviously we'll talk about TV trailers like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, you name all the other ones. But then we'll also talk about some video game trailers. And not everybody that listens to the podcast will maybe be interested in video game trailers. So we thought we might put that at the end, almost like an addendum. What do you think?
Yeah, I think if we put it at the end, it leads to nice, convenient place to stop listening if you don't want to hear us talk about video games. But if you do want to hear us talk about video games, then you just keep on listening.
Indeed. I like the video games.
Me too. Not all of them. I'm not very good at any of them, but I like some of them.
So not good with technology, not good at the video games.
I didn't have that stuff.
But you're good at people.
That's true. I am pretty good at people. I'm good at public speaking, which you might not be able to tell yet this early in the podcast. Because I'm an only child, so I think everyone should be listening to me all the time anyway. So it makes me good at public speaking.
Public speaking and a nice Midwestern accent.
Mm. And we have that Southern accent from you to keep it all leveled out.
Yeah, and sometimes it might go a little bit deeper than others.
And eventually I might just turn into Fargo.
Wow, what a dynamic. Well, yeah. Another thing we should probably mention is this is a Green Band trailer podcast.
That's right. We will not be cussing up a storm, unlike some of your other favorite podcasts with Marc Maron in them.
Yeah. And one of the reasons is, you know, I like to listen to podcasts when I'm in the car and sometimes when I'm in the kitchen cooking or something like that. And I have 3 kids. And so when they walk in or if they're in the car with me, I immediately would have to turn those podcasts off. And that is annoying.
It's true. Nobody needs that in their life. Everything else is stressful enough.
Exactly. And honestly, what does this podcast have to gain by having offensive language?
It's true. I don't have anything that animated to say about anything in life.
No. And if we get mad or if we get passionate about stuff, there's plenty of words out there to describe our emotions and our thoughts quite adequately.
Like cuss.
Yes. Ding dang. Okay.
Consarnit.
So because some of you don't know us or don't know us well, it's probably good to talk about our favorite trailers, like of all time.
Mm-hmm. I have 2. I'm going to talk about... They're my favorites for 2 very different reasons. And my first one is... Do you remember the trailer for Spike Jonze, Where the Wild Things Are?
An amazing trailer.
Yes, it was basically like a short film. The soundtrack was like when Arcade Fire just started to be in things. So you had the Arcade Fire music. It didn't have any dialogue. It was just like little scenes from the movie, but like interconnected in a way where it felt like just like one scene of walking through the woods with Max Hanging On to Carol as the music played, and it set the tone for the movie. Like, you knew what you were going in there. You knew it was going to be weird. You knew it was going to be a Spike Jonze movie. You knew the music was going to be good. It's just a really good trailer. And that's...
I don't know that everybody knew that it was going to be like it was, weird and kind of dark. I think a lot of people wanted some light affair and were maybe a little disappointed.
Well, that could be true. Adaptation is one of my favorite movies of all time. So as soon as I saw that Spike Jonze was doing it, I sort of maybe knew going into it that there would be a lot of Spike Jonze weirdness, because that man is very weird. He directed Being John Malkovich, after all, which you'd have to be moderately insane to come up with that movie.
You know, I used to think his name was Spike Jonze.
Hmm.
I was wrong.
Yeah, incorrect. Not correct there.
And what was the other one you said you had too?
My second one is Day of the Triffids, which is a B-movie science fiction movie from, I think, the 60s. It's about giant killer plant alien monsters that, like, come to life from some sort of cosmic thing. I haven't seen the movie in a while. But the trailer, over and over again, will just say the name of the movie in that old-timey trailer voice. It'll just be like, The Day of the Triffids. And it does it again and again.
The Day of the Triffids.
It also has my favorite example of, like, the transatlantic accent.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a kid, and I think it's Billy Mummy from Lost in Space, Will Robinson. I think it's that actor. And what the Triffids do is they like emit a spore, and the spores blind everyone so that they can attack the humans, and they're defenseless. So there's people on this plane, and like the people in the plane realize that they can't see, like the flight attendants and all the people in the coach or whatever. And Billy Mummy says in this old-timey kid movie accent, he goes, "The pilot, is he blind too?
Pilot, is he blind too?"
And it's just, I can't even, it's so funny. It's like this weird transatlantic old-timey accent. And it's just, every time I think of that, I laugh, because first of all, why should a time frame have an accent? And second, why did everyone in that era sound exactly the same, and why was it so strange, and where did it go?
That is true. Yeah, you know what also it makes me think of? The trailer for Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow.
Right.
It's like nothing you remember.
Yeah, and like all of that retro filmmaking, like Rocketeer and anything made by the Rocketeer director, Joe Johnston.
Joe Johnston. Mm-hmm.
Anything made by him has that feel, that old-timey feel, like the 50s or 60s, where they had just this just different way of speaking, and it's not around anymore, but I just think it's great.
I love it. It's great, and I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille.
Meanwhile, Elliot Ness and the boys.
So, for me, Jurassic Park is one of my all-time favorites, and I liked it because I remember not seeing dinosaurs in it. I remember, so in my mind's eye or whatever, I remember seeing no dinosaurs at all, like not even a square inch. But having gone back and watched it the other day, you do indeed see parts of dinosaurs. You see a Tyrannosaurus Rex foot, you see the hand of a raptor, and like this, the nostrils of a raptor. And the belly of a triceratops. So, but back in the day, I was like, you know, it was so mysterious. Like, what, you know, they made dinosaurs, but they won't show them. And if you contrast that with today, boy, they really didn't show anything in that trailer. It was just like people's reactions.
Yeah, that's if you even compare it to a modern Jurassic Park trailer, like.
Yeah,
I didn't see the second Jurassic World movie at all, but I feel like I saw the entire thing because I saw a 3-minute trailer for it that just basically went scene for scene throughout the entire movie, including what I understand to be the final scene of the film.
Talk about trailer trends.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Revealing the whole movie in the trailer. And do you feel like Godzilla showed too much? The newest Godzilla King of Monsters?
I only watched the first one as a matter of fact, I think you told me that they showed too much in the second trailer. So I didn't
watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I followed your advice there.
Well, you did right, because they did reveal way too much. And I don't like that trend. And I don't know that we'll ever go back to the Jurassic Park style where they don't show much and you have to, like, it's like a mystery that you want to see.
I think that depends. It depends, because a lot of studios will use companies to cut trailers, and then that's when you get, like, scenes from the end of the movie, or, like, there was a Liam Neeson movie where he was on a plane, and I think Jodie Foster or Julianne Moore or someone was in it, and it showed the plane blow up in the trailer, which is, like, the end of the movie. And it's like that one, you know, was cut together by a studio because the director would never allow that. But, like, if you look at the movie Looper, which was made by Rian Johnson, Rian Johnson cut the trailer, I believe, and that trailer was great. It didn't give away anything. It didn't even, like, you didn't even get a sense of what the twist or the main part of the story was. Like, you just thought it was a time travel movie.
Yeah. Yeah, Rian Johnson's pretty good about that. I also feel like J.J. Abrams is pretty good about not revealing too much. He kind of hides it.
Oh, yeah. He's created some trailers that we're definitely going to have to go in-depth on this podcast, because the Cloverfield marketing campaign was brilliant.
Yes. Yeah. And actually, I would say even... the Cloverfield, because I actually have a Slusho shirt. And if you know what Slusho is, that was part of that marketing campaign. I mean, it went deep.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there was a whole website, and it had nothing that said anything like J.J. Abrams or Cloverfield. It was straight, like, Slusho, and it had weird stuff like, we get our ingredients from the bottom of the ocean, and, like, weird stuff. It was really cool. I loved it at the time.
I think they had that tied into Lost as well, because I know that he always uses the Oceanic Airlines in his stuff.
Yeah, there's a Slusho machine in Alias, the show Alias, too.
That's right, that's right.
So it shows up in different things.
Now, J.J., we're using as a good example for this, but also that will inevitably lead us to talking about Star Trek Into Darkness, which I'm pretty sure he caught a lot of flack for that trailer and, like, just the marketing campaign of pretending Benedict Cumberbatch was not Khan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love J.J. Abrams, and people can hate on him all day. I do not care.
I agree. I love him also.
All right, so the other trailer that I really like is actually the third Man of Steel trailer. And I know a lot of people poo-poo on this movie, but I actually loved it. And I think I loved it because I'm not a Superman fan. I'm not a DC Comics fan. And so I went into this movie with no expectations and got a sci-fi film. And I love sci-fi. So I was like, this is awesome. But the trailer, if you go back and watch the trailer, there's actually three trailers for Man of Steel. And they each build perfectly. So the first one's really subdued. The music's kind of like orchestral, like kind of calm music. And it doesn't give much away really at all. The second one gives a little bit more away. The music is like a little bit more energetic. And then the third trailer is just that killer song where I listen to it all the time. And now I can't think of the name of it. Maybe I'll do it in post or something. But it's you can go listen to it on Spotify. It's like, what would you do, or something like that. It doesn't matter. Anyway, the music is just like, it'll give you like goosebumps to watch it. And it's just, and the narration by Russell Crowe in that third trailer. Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's like inspiring. Like even go back and watch it now, and you're just, man, it'll give you goosebumps. So I think they did a really good job. Did they reveal too much? Yeah, probably. But still, it made me want to go see the movie.
I would listen to Russell Crowe talk about pretty much anything.
Yeah, I think about the movie Gladiator a lot, and really mainly just the scene with Marcus Aurelius in the tent.
Mm-hmm.
And because I relate to Maximus in that tent where he's like offered, what's the guy that plays Marcus Aurelius?
Oh, man. God.
Yeah.
Or
so,
Richard Harris?
Is it Richard Harris? I think it's Richard Harris.
Richard Harris.
So in that scene, he's like, he's like, I want you to be the Emperor of Rome when I die. And then he says, do you accept this great honor that I've offered you? And then Maximus says, with all my heart, no. And I resonate with that because, like, I've never wanted power. Like, I don't see the value or the fun in it. And so all it is more responsibility. And, like, now you have to manage people. And that sounds terrible. So so I really like Maximus's perspective. And I always think about that randomly.
My favorite Russell Crowe movie is Master and Commander. But this is not a Russell Crowe podcast.
We will not dive too deep. Maybe we'll dive deep into that movie or that trailer later.
I have to rewatch the Master and Commander trailer before we talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so this week, there's actually in this past week, and I guess if you want to even say the past 2 weeks, there's been a lot that has come out. And interestingly enough, we're starting to see the beginnings of movies that come out in the theater and then just like a few weeks later coming out on Netflix.
Yeah, I think what we're going to talk about right now is probably the Irishman. Scorsese is in a little hot water for some comments he made today. I don't know if you saw any of this.
Oh, I did see.
Yeah, I don't agree with him on his assessment of comic book movies as being not cinema or whatever he said. It was reductive and I don't agree, but you can't just throw away Scorsese over some little dismissive comments that he made because he's pretty good.
This is why I respect one Dolly Parton. And you might say, what does Dolly Parton have to do with Scorsese? Well, yeah, there's an interview, and it's somewhere on the internet on YouTube, but you can go find it, where Dolly Parton is asked in the interview, you know, who she likes as far as a candidate goes, or what she thinks of the current administration, or something along those lines. And she stops and she says, you know what, like, my job is to be an entertainer, and nobody really, if I give my opinion, it's not going to do anything good. Nobody really needs to know. Because that's not my job. My job is to sing and entertain and do all that. And there's really no value in me giving my opinion on this. And so I love that. And so, Scorsese, you know, why don't you stick to making the kind of movies that you make and not act like you are some authority on what cinema is, which is a completely subjective thing to say. If he wants to say, like, in my opinion, that's fine. But he made the statement that it's not cinema. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah, well, he said two things. And the first thing is, like, he said he tried them and it wasn't for him. And I was like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Then he said, it's not cinema, it's a amusement park. Which he didn't say amusement parks are bad. He didn't say it was bad. But, like, you don't get to pick what art is, man.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, also, he's also kind of just made the same gangster movie 12 times in a row, so...
Yeah, you could probably just instead go eat a bar of soap, Scorsese, and maybe hit the refresh button.
Yeah, let's broaden our minds here because there were some pretty thoughtful responses to his statements by like James Gunn,
yeah,
is a very very good speaker,
and a very good maker of movies,
Joss Whedon chimed in too. And
Joss Whedon, who wrote one of my favorite X-Men comic book series of all time.
Was that Astonishing? Astonishing.
It was.
X-Men? Astonishing, yeah, X-Men. I think I have those on the shelf over there.
So good. Yeah, and I mean, don't even try to poo-poo on Captain America Winter Soldier. Don't do it, because we're going to come to fisticuffs.
Yeah, that's better than any Scorsese movie. I'm sorry. We're probably losing hardcore Scorsese fans already, but... I don't dislike Scorsese movies. I think Gangs of New York is one of the best movies ever made.
Method acting.
Yeah, I mean, if Cameron Diaz wasn't in it, it would be perfect.
There you go. You know, I still remember Cameron Diaz in The Mask. Do you remember her in The Mask?
Yeah, it was her first appearance. I believe she beat out Leslie Mann. for that role.
She looked real healthy, I'll say that. I had a big crush on her. Real big crush back in the day.
I just remember that her voice or her accent in Gangs of New York was weird or something. I don't know. I just didn't like her. I think if they had cast Kate Winslet, it would be a perfect movie.
That would have been good. Hey, speaking of accents, I know we're kind of jumping ahead here, but I do want to talk about some trailers that came out this week, and it really just to talk about the accents in it.
Yep.
And so I am talking about one, Lucy in the Sky, about the diaper-wearing astronaut woman who had an affair with, I guess, another astronaut. I remember hearing just, like, vaguely about this back in the day. And so Natalie Portman plays this character, and she does a Southern accent.
Yep, she does a kind of Southern accent.
Yeah, that is a better description, because it is like, what is that? What is this exactly? Where are you from again?
Yeah, I don't know, but whenever you people talk, all I hear is Foghorn Leghorn.
A broad statement. A broad blanket thrown over the entire Southeast. So it's not great. I mean, I'm from the South. I've lived in Alabama my entire life, and I've sort of dialed back my accent a little bit. I mean, it used to be a little bit thicker, and if I get tired, man, I can get a little thick. I mean, it'll come out. It'll draw. Will come out.
I'm sure there's some code switching that happens too when you're around your Southern counterparts as opposed to me.
Our friend Missy played. We played Destiny 2 one night with a bunch of my friends, and she absolutely loved it. She said that she just loved listening to the Southern accents the whole time. So there is a little bit of that code switching, yeah. So the other trailer that came out sort
well,
of
hold
in
on,
this...
hold on. Oh, wait. I do have to jump in because Lucy in the Sky, her accent sounds really bad, but Noah Hawley is one of my favorite directors of all time, and I just don't think he can make a bad movie. So
I don't think the movie will be bad. Yeah, I think the movie will be. It actually looks really good. Like I really want to see it.
Yeah.
But
she does sound ridiculous though.
The accent's a little forced. Let's leave it at that.
It sounds like if I was like trying to do a Southern accent, which would basically be like Foghorn Leghorn.
I think at some point in the podcast we'll have to reverse accents. Like I'll take yours and you take mine, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, I'll work on that in the coming months.
Okay. So in the same way that Natalie Portman had a bad Southern accent, there is this other movie about Richard Jewell. It's called Richard Jewell, about the 1996 Atlanta Olympic bombing in Centennial Park.
Right.
And so the actor, Paul Walter Hauser, who plays Richard Jewell, who's the security guard that found the bomb, does a spot on killer Southern accent.
Well, do you know where he's from?
I don't. I went on to YouTube because I was so interested in this. I went on to YouTube and found interviews that he's done because he moved to LA from wherever. I don't even know where he moved from. But when you hear his normal accent, it is not Southern.
So he just So he just has sort of a neutral accent.
Very neutral accent. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he was from California.
I actually wasn't familiar with this movie until earlier today when you told me to watch this trailer, and which surprised me because A, it's directed by Clint Eastwood,
right?
B, it has a pretty stacked cast like John Hamm and Olivia Wilde.
Rockwell.
Oh, Sam Rockwell. Yeah. How did I not know about this movie?
I didn't know about it either until like literally the other day. But I mean, there's a couple of lines in there. that Paul Walter Hauser says, and he's like, there's a bomb in Centennial Park, you have 30 minutes, and it just sounds really good. I was like super impressed.
Yeah, he pretty much, that's exactly how you talk all the time.
So looking forward to that one. Actually looking forward to both of those.
I'm wondering about that. Eastwood has sort of been hit or miss lately. I do think he's great. Like, he's made some great movies. Like, Unforgiven is an awesome movie.
Oh, I love Unforgiven.
But, like, that last movie he made was a sort of similar thing, which was about those guys in, like, the train hijacking, and they played themselves, and it was just awful.
Didn't see that. Honestly, the last movie I saw was either El Camino or the Hillary Swank one.
Million Dollar Baby.
Those are the last two Eastwood movies I've seen.
Was it... No, El Camino is the Breaking Bad movie. What is...
Gran Torino. Gran Torino.
There was an El Camino trailer this week.
Yes, I'm looking for, because you watched all of Breaking Bad, right?
I love Breaking Bad.
Yeah. I'm actually looking forward to El Camino, and this is one of those movies that's coming out in the theater, and then like 3 weeks later coming out on Netflix.
Is it? I thought it was just coming out. I think because it comes out next weekend. I think Irishman was coming out in theaters. I didn't know if El Camino had a theatrical release at all.
Oh, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't.
Yeah. I think this one's just going to Netflix, but I'm actually really nervous about it because, like, at the end of Breaking Bad, I was like, I just wanted Jesse to get away. And then at the end, he was, like, driving away, and he looked so free, like, and we didn't know what was going to happen. And I was comfortable in that. Like,
I was okay with that, yeah.
I could write my own future for him, but now I have to face the cold, hard truth of Vince Gilligan.
You can't write your fan fiction, or
I can't write my fan fiction.
He's canceling out your fan fiction,
but that's okay. He's never done me wrong.
That's true. I will say this is not a spoiler. I'm not going to give any spoilers, and that's something we will never do in this podcast.
Never.
If we do spoilers, it'll be within a spoiler cast that is clearly labeled and plenty of warnings at the beginning. So don't expect any spoilers, but. I will say that this scene in one of the last episodes, if not the last episode, I don't think it was the very last episode, but the scene between Walt and his wife in the kitchen in one of the last episodes is some of the greatest acting I've ever seen on any TV show ever.
I think Breaking Bad, I mean, obviously, I think Sopranos maybe started peak TV, but Breaking Bad solidified it, and that's what put us into this era where everything on TV is good now.
So good. As a matter of fact, I just finished last night the Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance on Netflix.
And I still got to watch that.
Gosh, I mean, just the artistry is unbelievable.
I have fond memories of the movie. When I was a kid, me and my cousin would go to his grandpa's house, and he had a Betamax player. And he had these movies on Betamax that he recorded off TV. And it was like The Dark Crystal, Labyrinth, the old Rankin Bass movies, like Flight of Dragons. Yeah. Or Don Bluth. All that old stuff, like good 80s stuff.
Man, there's a Rankin Bass movie that is the origin of Santa Claus. I don't know if you've ever seen it with like all these sprites and like elves and stuff. And it is weird. And I loved it as a kid.
I love the Rankin Bass, like Tolkien stuff, The Hobbit and Return of the King.
Yeah.
I did not like the Ralph Bakshi Lord of the Rings, but
Is that the BBC one? Wasn't there a BBC one?
The Ralph Bakshi one was the weird rotoscoped one, and it was like part of Fellowship and part of Two Towers, and it was like just weird, and I found it distasteful. Rankin Bass did The Hobbit, which everyone's seen the Hobbit cartoon, and then they did Return of the King because they didn't want to just redo the Fellowship and Two Towers because Bakshi did it. But the Return of the King was so much better than the Bakshi ones.
They have no power here.
Gandalf, Stormcrow.
So other trailers that have come out, The King's Man, which is part of the Kingsman series, which I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Kingsman series. I liked parts of the first one, but I think they blew it at the end. What did you think? Because, like, did you just dislike the entire first movie, or what was your thoughts on that?
So, to me, it's a little too juvenile. Some of the comedy bits, and then, like, the ending, I was just like, this is just made for 13-year-olds, and I'm not 13, so not really into that. Isn't Ralph Fiennes in the new one, though? Is it Ralph Fiennes?
Ralph Fiennes, yeah. He's in the new one.
I like Ralph Fiennes.
Oh, he's great.
So, I don't know. Maybe I'll give it a chance. And the other reason I might give it a chance is Gemma Arterton, ladies and gentlemen. One of my Hollywood crushes.
Oh, definitely.
And I do want to talk about Hollywood Crushes just in this episode, just briefly, top three, and they, you know, they change often, but talking about crushes is fun, I think.
I think so.
Everybody has their crushes in Hollywood. Who are your top three?
Well, okay, so I have gone through several iterations of this list just
on
this
podcast. I have seen the changes in the outlines, yes.
Yeah. So I started with like some that like are my most current ones. Like I really like Karen Gillan a lot lately. But
that
then
hair.
I was like, I got to go back to my main ones. My like one of my first ones of all of like ever was Carrie Russell because I loved Felicity.
Mm-hmm.
So I loved her and I had to put her back on the list because I was like, she's one of the originals. Like I used to like Xena, Seven of Nine and Felicity.
Oh, man, Seven of Nine. What's
Jeri Ryan.
Jeri Ryan. Gosh, talk about someone who has aged just so
like
well.
A fine
like she has
wine.
Really taken care of herself, I guess. Or because man, she looks almost even better than she did back in the day, 20 years ago.
I walked around the corner in the celebrity hall at Dragon Con, and just chilling and talking to each other in the hallway was Jeri Ryan, Lucy Lawless. And Trisha Helfer from Battlestar Galactica. And I just turned right around and walked away because I was like, there is no way I'm going to make a fool of myself in front of those three.
I love it. I didn't know she was there.
Oh, she was there. It was a couple years ago. I think it was
Maybe
2013-ish. But I added Angelina Jolie back to my list because I've always liked her. I like her. I mean, obviously everyone's like, oh yeah, Angelina Jolie. She's like...
Angelina Jolie.
She's a classic, like, hot celebrity lady, but, like,
right. She's
also a really good director. Like, Changeling.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
Changeling, man. That's such a good movie.
Do you have a favorite Angelina Jolie movie that she's been in?
I like Changeling a lot. Unless, did she direct that or was it Clint Eastwood? Now I'm confused. She's a good, even if she didn't, she's a good director.
She ain't gone in 60 seconds.
Yeah, she's got the weird dreadlocks in that movie.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I like the original Tomb Raider a lot.
Yeah.
I liked her in Wanted. I didn't like James McAvoy in Wanted.
Did you read the comics?
Yeah, I don't like Mark Millar. I'm very anti-Mark Millar.
Okay. I don't know that I've read any of his stuff.
He's too nihilistic for me.
All right, so that was... Carrie Russell, Angelina Jolie, and
I have a third. I like Janet Varney a lot, and pretty much this entire podcast is a ruse so that I can eventually be a boy of summer on the JV Club, which is Janet Varney's podcast.
Well, there you go. Secrets. The secret is out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to say Gemma Arterton, and I think that started. She was a Bond girl.
Yeah, that's right.
And so that was when I first saw her. And then she was also in Hansel. Was he in Hansel and Gretel?
Yeah, yeah. Her and Jeremy Renner. Hansel and Gretel,
right.
Witch Hunters.
Witch Hunters, that's right. And which is not good. Not good.
Nope. I still have it.
But she is very attractive.
Yep.
Then also one Rebecca Ferguson, who is a Mission Impossible hero.
And when I saw, I can see why you think this, because, like, when I saw Mission Impossible 5, I was like, who is this?
There's a scene, the latest Mission Impossible, where they are riding, like, in a Land Rover or something, some beautiful place in Europe. And she's got, I mean, they're wearing, like, winter clothes, and she's got, like, a scarf on and stuff. But, I mean, I don't know, the lighting is perfect, and she's just stunningly beautiful. So, big crush. And, you know, she also drives a... motorcycle and shoots guns, and that's always fun. And then of course Haley Atwell, because you know me, I'm a big Captain America fan, and
oh, that's right,
that's Captain America's lady. But she's just delightful, just a delight.
She's also, have you ever seen like a panel she was in?
I've not,
because I went to a panel that she was on at C2E2 in Chicago, and she is really, really funny.
Even better. I follow her on Instagram.
I do too. She's just a delight in pretty much every sense.
Yeah. So All right, and they may change. These crushes may change.
I think I'm being dishonest if I also don't mention that probably up there is like a giant man crush that I have on Ryan Gosling, because I'm sitting in a room that has three Mondo posters from Ryan Gosling movies, and it just would be dishonest if I didn't bring that up.
I need to think about man crush. I don't know. I don't know that I have one. I mean, or I just haven't thought of it. Speaking of ladies, Birds of Prey, the trailer came out.
Yeah, I couldn't think of the full title of the movie, so I just wrote Birds of Prey or How I Stopped Worrying and Learned to Love the Bomb, which is, of course, the Doctor Strangelove title.
Right.
I think it's like The Emancipation of Harley Quinn or something.
That's right. Yes, it does. I forgot it had like a semicolon something underneath it. So this is a DC movie about characters that I have no clue who they are except for Harlequin.
I've never heard of Birds of Prey, but I'm told that it's like a bunch of the female characters banded together, kind of like the A-Force. I got the sense that only Harley Quinn was in the movie and Ewan McGregor. I saw Mary Elizabeth Winstead with a motorcycle helmet, but I didn't see a lot of other Birds of Prey.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell you who else was in that movie. You're right. Like, I know that those two are in it, and that, I don't know.
There used to be a CW show or WB show called Birds of Prey.
Oh, interesting.
I think it had, like, The Huntress or something, which I think is, like, Batman and Catwoman's daughter. I don't know anything about DC.
Yeah, if you're a big DC fan, we will certainly watch the trailers, but we will not be very passionate or fanboyish about them.
We're also not going to just, like, hate on it.
Oh, no, I'm not one of those people.
Yeah, I don't have anything negative. I just don't know about it.
Yeah, I'm definitely open-minded. I mean, if it's a good movie, like, I loved Wonder Woman. Gosh, I love that movie.
Yeah, that movie was a moment.
Man, that's so if it's, I mean, we're open-minded to seeing great movies, but they got to be great, right?
Yep.
Okay. Another trailer that came out this week, 1917. And boy, I about had to pop a Zanny after watching this one.
Oh, I'm so excited about this movie.
Same.
Okay, so 1917 is a Sam Mendes movie about World War One, and it's shot as like a one-shot movie, like all one take, and it's about a specific mission in World War One where this kid and another guy have to deliver a message to a squad that they're marching into an ambush, and we're just going to be following him as he tries to complete this task. But it looks so like gritty and like gorgeous, and Sam Mendes is such a good director, and I just can't wait to see. It's got Benedict Cumberbatch in it, and it's got Colin Firth, and I don't know, I think this might be an Oscar movie.
It looks really incredible. It looks intense. I mean, that's one of the most intense trailers that I have seen in a long time. There's one shot where a biplane is like on fire and coming straight at the camera and the two characters in the shot, and you're just like, good grief. It looks real. Everything looks super real.
There's not enough World War One content out there. I'm a giant World War One nerd because it's basically the closest that real life has ever gotten to being steampunk.
This is true.
Like, there was like zeppelins and dirigibles and like trenches and gas masks, and everything was cool looking. Like, they had the first tanks that just looked like they were welded together in someone's backyard.
Yeah. World War One's very interesting, and I think I really got interested in it playing the game Valiant Hearts on the PlayStation 4, which was the first video game to ever make me cry, like weep.
I highly recommend it. I haven't played it yet. I need to do that.
Dude, it's really great. It's kind of like a puzzle platformer, and then they tell stories, and boy, I did not expect it. Wow. But it's great, so go see it. So that was 1917, and then also a movie called Primal coming out. Is this coming out in theaters, or is this on something else?
This might be a limited release, or for all I know, it could go straight to the Sci-Fi Channel, because with Nicolas Cage, you can't tell anymore.
You really can't, and it's also got Elon Musk in it?
Oh, yeah. Everyone's favorite entrepreneur slash
villain
actor. Villain actor.
It's actually Kevin Durant, but to me, Kevin Durant looks. I was like, is that Elon Musk? Oh no, it's Kevin Durant.
I like Kevin Durant a lot, but he does look a lot like Elon Musk.
Well, I'm trying to think of what was he in one of the X-Men.
Yeah, he was the blob in the yes. terrible X-Men Origins Wolverine.
That's what I'm thinking yeah. of. That might be the worst movie of all time.
Oh, it might be. It's up there. He's not in a lot of great things. Like he was in that show The Strain on FX, which started off pretty good but then went off the rails. And then he was in one of the Resident Evil movies. He was Barry.
Which one? Which one of the 1,000 Resident Evil movies that exist?
4 or 5?
I have not seen hardly any of them, and I probably never will. Sorry. Jovovich, I liked you in Fifth Element.
Nicolas Cage is friends with a tiger in this movie, or some sort of leopard.
Yeah, and the line from the trailer, he's like, if you mess with my panther or whatever, I'm going to blow your head off. And it's just like, what is this? This is like Cheese City. Oh, it's so bad.
Nicolas Cage was in Adaptation. Like, Adaptation, in my opinion, is a top-tier movie.
Dude, Nicolas Cage voices Spider-Man Noir in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and it's perfect. His performance is perfect.
He's in Raising Arizona, and he's... what is he up to?
I don't know. I think he is weird, like, in a lot of his choices. And this is something we're going to talk about in later episodes, is about the choices that actors make. And so you kind of get an idea of what they like by the roles that they take.
I heard Nicolas Cage say once that the way he does acting is how painters will do different styles of painting. And he said when he does a really weird role, like that vampire movie he was in, he said that's like him doing the Scream.
Okay.
I don't know if I buy it or if it's...
an excuse.
It's an excuse, but then again, he's an Adaptation, and he's really, really good in it.
Yeah, I actually love Nicolas Cage. I question his choices on roles. Maybe.
I'm really hoping that The Color Out of Space is good. I can't find a trailer for it, even though they've shown it at a bunch of festivals. But that's a good Lovecraft story.
So another one that came out, The Aeronauts with Felicity Jones of Rogue One fame. That's where I know her from.
That's right. And Eddie Redmayne, the Muppet from Les Miserables.
Eddie Redmayne, he is an Oscar winner.
Yep.
And he is in, I just don't know that he's a bankable star.
No, he won an Oscar for The Danish Girl, which I haven't seen, but I guess he did really well in that movie. Although I think a lot of people felt that they should have probably gotten a trans actor in the first place. But as far as like Eddie Redmayne, my exposure is Les Miserables, where he sang like a Muppet, and Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which I couldn't follow that movie for some reason.
Yeah, I'm not like super interested in that. I mean, I love Harry Potter, but I'm not super interested in that. Was also in he's not City of a Thousand Planets. It's the Jupiter?
Oh, yeah, Jupiter Ascending.
Jupiter Ascending, that's it. Not great.
I haven't seen that.
Not great. Not great. It may be worth, it's worth, it's probably worth one watch. Yeah, like on Netflix or something.
Now, this Aeronauts movie, it's about, like, hot air balloons that, like, get turned into an action thing. Or something. It's like a historical hot air balloon mission thing. Let me just tell you that you either get to pick one or the other. You can either like hot air balloons or you can like Zeppelins. And I fall squarely in the Zeppelin camp.
Yeah, I don't know where I stand on that. Hydrogen makes me nervous. I used to work at a science center and used to light hydrogen balloons on fire and have a giant explosion. And so... it sort of makes me very nervous to think about anything with hydrogen in it.
Does it make you nervous that and I'm going to steal a quote from Scrubs here, that a hot air balloon is floating wicker propelled by fire?
That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. Can't steer that.
So is it a hot air balloon or do they fill it with helium or hydrogen or something? Do you know?
I think it was just a hot air balloon. I don't know if it, we'll have to watch the Aeronauts to find out, but
I guess so. Well, there's in the trailer, there's one point where you see that Felicity Jones has climbed to the, because there's rope on the outside of the actual balloon, and so she's climbed to the very top of the balloon and is like laying on top of the actual balloon.
Yep.
And I just think, you know, this just seems like a terrible idea all around. I mean, I'm not afraid of heights, but I certainly have a healthy respect for them. I don't want to die that way. And no, here we are.
I don't see the benefit of being outside of the basket.
No, I'm going to stay within the confines of the basket, most assuredly.
I'm not even going to get in that basket. I'm going to go into a Zeppelin that you can steer.
Steering is good. I sort of like the idea of that better. Of course, the Rocketeer could show up and blow up your Zeppelin.
Bring me the rocket pack.
I want mine rocketed, and I want it now. By the way, Rocketeer is my top five movies of all time. Come at me.
Yeah, Rocketeer is one of the best movies ever made. So,
Joe Johnson, big shout out, man. We love that Joe Johnson.
Yeah, everything he does, even his bad movies like The Wolfman, loved it.
Yeah, it's still good. It's still a good movie. It's still well put together, you know. Frozen 2. Nick, you have never seen Frozen.
Nope, I let that go a long time ago.
Oh, I see what you did there. I have three children, and I have also never seen Frozen.
See, that is impressive to me. Like, how did you manage that?
Willpower. Force of will. Sheer willpower. But... And I will say this, I have no interest in watching that, but I watched on my own, no kids in the house, I watched like the first 30 minutes of Moana, mm-hmm. and then had to get up and leave to go do some responsibility, but I was like, man, I want to go back to that Moana. That was good.
I saw that one in the theater.
So I'm more of a Moana fan than Frozen, and so I don't care about Frozen 2. Do you have any interest in seeing Frozen 2?
I don't. It just looks like Hans Christian Andersen, the movie. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it's about. The main guy, like the man, I don't know what his name is, but he looks like my friend Kevin, which is a common theme in Disney with their very Germanic looking protagonists.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll make $1 billion. And,
oh yeah.
And they say that, you know, if you were a little girl when first Frozen came out, you're going to like this next one. It's not for little girls or whatever, and whatever that means. I don't know, is it like Harry Potter? It grows up. Does Frozen grow up with you? Is that what it is?
It could be. Having not seen it, I don't know. You have two daughters. I'm sure they'll let you know.
Maybe so. But another movie that is sort of centered around young ladies, The Secret Garden.
I was just saying, I watched that trailer today. I had not heard of this this new version.
I remember seeing the old one back in the day. I think it was in the 90s, the last version I saw. And maybe there's been some made-for-TV versions after that. I don't know. But this version looks pretty interesting. The CGI looks pretty decent, I think.
It looked good in the trailer. I know this was a book. I've never read it, and I've never seen a movie of this. So I don't have any nostalgia or like background on this. Is it kind of like a Bridge to Terabithia type young adult story?
I think it is, and I think I did read it. I read a lot of books as a kid, and so it's kind of, they all meld together. So I couldn't tell you details, but it is sort of like, yes, some supernatural things happen within this garden, and then you can take that to mean their imagination or it really happened or whatever, I think. Don't quote me on that. But I'm interested. I mean, it looks decent. I mean, the CGI looks good, so... but also with Disney, you got Lady and the Tramp.
I watched that today as well. I didn't know there was a trailer for that until you put it on this outline.
I'm going to go ahead and say, first of all, I hate animal movies. And you'd be like, he hates animals. I don't want to listen to this podcast because he don't like animals. No, I love animals. Matter of fact, I'm a nature photographer. I do macro photos. Like, I love insects and spiders and stuff like that, and I like seeing animals in the wild. I love birds. I'm a birder. These are some of my hobbies that I have a million of. Mm-hmm. But this movies with animals, especially dogs and cats where they talk and stuff, like, you know what, you can just keep it. You can keep it in the vault, Disney, and never let it out. I do not care. I do not want to see this.
Now, I want to know, when you say this, because it's a very weird, I mean, very specifically unique perspective to have, if this also includes animation.
It does not include animation.
Okay, because this if you don't like the Disney Robin Hood movie, you're a monster.
Well, first of all, Disney Robin Hood is my favorite Disney movie, so... Well, let's just go ahead and establish that, okay? That movie is absolutely classic. Okay. And then also, I mean, I even like, you know, these modern computer animated movies with animals. They're kind of fun, whatever, you know, take them or leave them. But this live action stuff, this Air Bud, this movie where the dog gets reincarnated.
A dog's life or a dog's purpose.
Just, I hate everything. I hate all this stuff. Like, I don't ever want to see it. I don't see them. I've seen some in the very far past, but, you know, I don't want to see these things. I hate them. They're always the cheesiest movies that are ever made.
Yeah, very very ham-fisted and schlocky.
Oh, gosh. I can't hate them enough. I can't tell... it'd be like hell if you sat me down like Clockwork Orange and, like, opened my eyelids and made me watch animal movies. I would just die.
Where did this come from? Because the... Or it's just like a built-in dislike?
It is just an organic dislike. Like, I just hate them. I don't know. They're just so... I hate cheesy things. I hate... Like, it's not that hard, I don't feel like, to write a decent script. Even if you're writing for kids. I mean, heck, like, go back and watch The Incredibles. Like, it's a kid's movie, quote-unquote. And it's, like, written so well. Isn't that Brad Bird? Is that Brad Bird?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Brad Bird.
Let Brad Bird... Write your dang kids' movies and make them good.
I think that kids' movies are great when they don't treat the kids like kids. Like,
right.
There's a lot of kid movies, like older Disney movies, and I'm sure some of the newer ones are good. Like Coco was really good.
Yeah.
Where they treat like the kids like human beings, and that they're able to deal with bigger themes, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So... I will probably hate watch animal movie trailers just so we can talk about them, but
yes.
I just always know that I'm going to come at them with a fiery dislike.
I'm going to get to the bottom of this by the end of this podcast, like in several years or whatever. I will get to the bottom of this hate. I'm going to figure out what makes you tick and why you're so against this concept, because it seems so random to me.
We're gonna do some psychology, or Stone Cold says some psychology.
We're gonna get in there.
All right. So on the opposite end of the spectrum, what I'm most excited about, the trailer that has gotten me the most excited is, and we have actually two trailers for it now, but Ford versus Ferrari. I cannot wait for this movie. This is Christian Bale. This is Matt Damon. And it is one of my favorite stories, because I love cars. So this is one of my favorite stories in sort of the automobile world. Do you know anything about it?
I do, because, and not to buzz market other podcasts, but Stuff You Should Know did a really good episode about Ford versus Ferrari, and I listened to that, and I had some background recently, and then the trailer came out, and it looks like I knew what was going on, so it looked like a pretty good representation to me.
Yeah, it looks great. I can't wait to see, because I know the story just sort of at a cursory level. I don't know a lot of the details, so I can't wait to see all the inner workings and all the stuff that happened and the drama. And I just can't wait. I think it's gonna be great.
I think it's. I mean, I'm not as big a car guy as you. I don't know anything about cars, but I would probably watch it based on the cast alone.
Right. Pretty good cast. The Ford GT is one of my favorite cars of all time. That's the Ford that, or that's the movie that. That's the car in the movie, guys. Okay, so we're getting... let's kind of run through these last couple ones. The Gentleman.
I love Guy Ritchie. I know a lot of people don't like some of his more recent movies. I do like them. I haven't seen Aladdin, but I don't know. I'll see any Guy Ritchie movie.
I loved King Arthur.
Me too. Oh, you're the other one.
I am the other one. I love that movie.
Right? Okay. When that movie came out and people didn't like it, I got mad at America.
It is a spectacle, man. It is awesome.
Yeah, and the soundtrack.
So I'm glad we connect so on good. That, because we're alone in the world.
Yeah, it's like. Just us. It is just us. And like everyone that's listening is like, these guys like that King Arthur movie. I don't know if I should listen to them.
Listen for the spicy takes, folks. I guess if you can yell at speakers.
Yeah, you know what else? I like the 1998 Lost in Space. Come at me.
I like, oh gosh, what's the movie with Sean Connery?
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. My wife makes fun of me constantly for it.
I like it too.
So that's one of the coolest cars in any movie ever that...
Captain Nemo. It kind of reminds me of like the Red Skull's car too, which is also very cool, despite being a Nazi car.
Remove the insignias from it, and you got a really cool car there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then Gemini Man. Oof. Yeah. Guys. It looks like Matrix 2 CGI.
Yep.
We got some Gumbies doing some jump kicks in there. I don't know.
Yeah. This movie is about Will Smith versus younger Will Smith. I think we might leave the discussion of this one to our friends' podcast, Seeing Double. They can talk about this one.
Listen, I love Will Smith. I absolutely adore Will Smith. I like him on Instagram. I like Will Smith movies. Independence Day is in my top five of all time. But, gosh, I just can't. I have no desire to see this. No desire.
No. And I'm a Gemini, I guess. So.
Yeah, me too. Now, did we talk about The Irishman?
We sort of railed on Scorsese a little.
This movie is doing really well on Rotten Tomatoes, I believe.
Yeah, everyone's saying it's a magnum opus, and it's getting really good reviews. It's one of the only Netflix movies that that I think is getting good reviews lately. They have a lot of original movies that are very, very bad.
Yeah, but you got all the players are there. Plus, everybody loves Raymond. He's also in there.
We've got to kill Kennedy.
All these gangsters, and then Roman.
He's like, "Hey, Robert De Niro, did you do it?"
Okay, so that's a lot of the stuff that's coming up, and then we'll have some new stuff next week that we will watch, and you can watch with us. And then just one quick thing before we go, stuff that we really are looking forward to. Hopefully, a Black Widow.
Yeah, I'm thinking realistically with Star Wars. But I'm hoping we can get something before that.
Yeah, so anything Marvel we love, we want that. We want everything Marvel. And then I'm actually hoping for some kind of announcement for new seasons of The Dark Crystal, because I loved it and I want to see more art, because that's art in motion. So,
yep.
That's good. All right, guys. So we're coming up on an hour, and we want to try to keep this podcast about an hour. Anything else from you, Nick?
I think anything else can be held on until next week.
That sounds great. So we will record. So we're recording on Friday night, and I guess we will probably do the same thing next week.
Yep.
And hopefully you will join us for that. So this has been episode one, the pilot of Trailer Blazers. This is Ben Moon, and I'm out.
This is Nick Kelly, and remember, don't talk at the movies.